Anyone who takes even a cursory glance at the modern Western environment can soon realize that, on average, women are treated a lot better than men. Within the manosphere, there's a short-form term for this. It's called gynocentrism. But more broadly, the reality is that the women are wonderful effect is an actual thing. And regardless of where you look in life, generally speaking, socially, in terms of how people deal with you, women are treated better. Both men and women like women more than they like men. And all this is ultimately derivative of a simple reproductive fact. Women have a lot more reproductive utility than men because women are the limiting factor in reproduction. All this ultimately goes back to that fact, although there are other things such as women being weaker and women being more vulnerable. But it's all related to the fact that women alone can give birth and they can get pregnant. That in itself, of course, is nothing new. We all know this. Most of us who've been in this space for a rather long time. But there's some other interesting features here, and I often have to wonder about this. So we do treat women better than men, usually. But the real question to ask here is that a good thing? Is it a good thing that women are mollycoddled for most of their lives? Is it a good thing that women are always told that they're right, that whatever they're doing, it's probably the correct course of action? Is it a good thing that they are not challenged in a legitimate and authentic way, oftentimes, when they display inappropriate behavior or offer an opinion or a view that is completely batty or incongruent with reality? Now, that's not a question you'll ever hear discussed in the open, because in the open, the reality that women are treated better than men is simply not a thing. In fact, it's the opposite perception or claim, right? That men are just universally treated a lot better than women, and that women are the suffering, oppressed class in the eyes of the majority of people, in the eyes of society. You know, the basic feminist take. But here's the thing I've been thinking about quite a bit recently. I don't think it's good that women are coddled, not just because it's not fair to men, because there's no attempt at treating the sexes equally in any regard. That's bad in itself, but rather, it doesn't lend itself to women as a whole learning important lessons, women improving themselves in terms of their ability to think things through, in terms of improving their behavior, in terms of just becoming better people. Now, I'm not saying that men are treated poorly because the idea is that people want men to become better people. No, men having to improve themselves is just a side effect of general indifference and or poor treatment. That's not the intention behind it. But the opposite is true, too. If you're treating women really well across the board, if you're granting their every wish, if you're agreeing to everything they say, if you're just nodding your head, well, what do you expect to happen? Of course, they're going to assume that they're right about most things. They're going to assume they don't need to change. And they're going to assume when you have almost exclusively positive input in terms of your actions, your behavior, your words, that they're on the right course regardless of what they're doing and saying. Now, this starts very young. There is documented evidence that parents treat newborn infant girls with more care and with kids' gloves, as it were, more so than they do their infant boys. And everyone knows the term daddy's little girl in the sense that the father will spoil the daughter rotten, but very rarely the son. And of course, once the woman grows up and she enters into relationships with adult men, oftentimes the men treat her with kid gloves and will basically nod their heads to everything. A lot of this is just due to a simple fact that if you're going to be agreeable with a woman, at least in some contexts, you're probably more likely to be able to copulate with her in a relationship, right? But moreover, a lot of men just don't want to deal with a lot of the BS, the company's arguments and fighting. This is oftentimes related to women's perception of the relationship or marriage or what have you. So there's a long chain of treating women in a particular way, a much better way, and basically not calling out negative behavior on the whole, which then down the line leads to very different outcomes. Now, some people have argued, of course, that this is changing and that with the modern internet and social media and the existence of something like the pillowsphere, that women have been called out more often and that when women engage in negative behavior, that is much more often on display and therefore more liable to be pointed out. There's probably some truth to that at least to some degree. But that's definitely not the general trend if you observe broader society and how people interact with each other on a very basic level. You can only observe such things when it comes to social media, outrage videos on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, that sort of thing. And although these are definitely components of life by now, I'd say, that's not the day-to-day interaction most people have. In the day-to-day interaction most people have, the behavior of women is rarely called out if it's negative, and women are usually seen in an overtly positive light, whereas men are seen, of course, in a negative light. But what happens, unfortunately, down the line, when you've spent your whole life being coddled, when you've spent your whole life being told how wonderful you are, how you can do no wrong, and above all, how your perception of reality actually does, in fact, accord with reality, even if it's the opposite case, well, what happens down the line? The problem is, eventually, you're in for a rude awakening. No, I'm not talking about the wall. The wall, I think, is much more myth these days than it is reality. Yes, it affects women's choice, but not as much as people claim. And I'm just talking about getting older and realizing that the world of fairy tales that you've been fed does not actually accord with reality. Remember, I talked about in the previous video how men and women were fed a lot of fairy tales about romance, about reproduction, about the world at large when it comes to the sexes. Well, that's definitely the case for women too, but way beyond just the reproductive stuff. It's just about their very essence, their very being. Women are told there's something special. They're told that their instincts are supreme and that through these instincts they can understand the world in a much better way than men ever could, and they should always trust their gut. They should trust their intuitions. That's important to point out here that on average, women are also more superstitious than men, which means they're more likely to get invested in religion and things like tarot cards or astrology. And yes, that's the kind of thing that a woman might rely on in terms of navigating the world. And I kid you not, I had an ex years ago, not too long a relationship, but she predicated everything she did and her interactions with me in the world based on our understanding of astrology. She was knee-deep in astrology, and if you're not aware, I learned a fair bit about astrology from her. Astrology is not just your sign. There are all these other planets. In fact, your sign is your sun sign. You also have a moon. You have an ascendant or a rising sign. You have signs and other planets like Mercury and Mars and Venus. It's a whole lot of claptrap, but at the end of the day, I can tell you she really believed in this. And most of the reason she decided to persist in the relationship with me, at least for a while, was based on her belief, matching our astrological charts, that it would somehow work out. And I kid you not, a big reason why she was together with me after many months was because she compared our astrological charts, and she literally believed the stars had lined up for us. And when things didn't work out, she came up with some other reason, again, bound to astrology. So it's one instance, one example of many I could give you, but I fail to see how this is ultimately beneficial to women to be allowed to persist in systems of belief, in opinions, and a sense almost of self-righteousness that does not accord with reality, because eventually, reality always hits back. Eventually, reality will clap back. And when it happens way down the line, when it doesn't happen when you're young, because you've never experienced reality hitting back at you when you're young, it happens when you're much older, and the shock effect, A, is much greater, and B, you're much less likely to be able to acclimate to what's happening, to the changes, and to the reality that you did not know and were not aware of. And yet there's another aspect to this too. Beyond the innate reproductive desire to treat women well because of a limiting factor in reproduction, yes, that's definitely a thing, but it's to the benefit, not of women, but of advertisers and people who are selling products. And we all know women buy a lot more junk than men do. They're much more susceptible to advertising and marketing than men are on average. And it's in the interest of the marketers and the advertisers and the people selling junk and products to women to convince women that women are better than men, to convince women that they're in the right about things usually, because that makes them much more susceptible to buying stuff. You know, the you go girl, you buy that product mentality, that's beneficial, not to women necessarily, but to people who want to make money off of women. And there's a classic example of this in history that goes back to smoking and Edward Bernays' the father of advertising or propaganda, depending on how you want to describe him. Bernays had come up with a term for cigarettes called torches of freedom, and it was directly targeted towards women who were in the throes of the new liberation movement called feminism, so that they could feel more free in what they were doing, and cigarettes were the key to that. It was hip, it was cool, and guess what? The women back then, in huge numbers, bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And it's no different today, in the sense that advertisers and marketers will prop up women's egos. They will attempt to justify what women do, feel, and think, regardless of whether or not they're right or wrong, in order to sell them more products. Marketing is just more effective on women. Anytime you see a billboard for a holiday or something like that, who is the advertisement directed towards? It's not men, it's women. And the best case scenario, you get the man paying for the holiday or vacation for the woman in question, because she then says, "Honey, wouldn't it be nice to go to X place, Cancun, Mexico, or the Bahamas, or what have you?" That's how these things work. So, on the one hand, you have the extreme deficits that can emerge from being coddled at large by society, in a way that men are not. And on the other hand, it's in the interest of advertisers, marketers, and people who are just trying to make a quick buck off of women's mentality and their nature to coddle the women and to tell them that they're always right and that "you go, girl" is the right mentality. And this has been around for a long time, at least 100 years, if not longer, again, with the concept of torches of freedom. So, in a lot of ways, women are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're being told that they're always right, that they are the best, even when they're not, because it's beneficial to the powers that be that want to sell them junk to do so. But on top of that, you of course have this innate instinct to protect women, to tell them how nice they are. The women are wonderful, a fact that is real, it's documented. And so it all coalesces into this giant mechanism that we call gynocentrism at the end of the day. And is it of benefit to women? Probably not. Do you really want to overspend on junk you don't need? Do you really want to be told the whole time that you're always right and that you can't make a mistake and that you're perfect? Probably not, because it's not beneficial to you in terms of your personal development, in terms of understanding the world. But that's where we're at these days, unfortunately, gentlemen. With that, I want to thank you for tuning in, as always. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, the channel could not exist. And if you can hit the bell icon to be informed of my videos, it would be much appreciated. On top of that, if you could engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, subscribing, leaving a comment, sharing the video, be much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. Until the next time, may the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.